This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You certainly are on Joy 94.9. Macca and Paul.
We're very lucky, Macca, to be joined as our last guest today.
Is Claire Coleman. Now, Claire Coleman's going to talk to us about the Emerging Writers Festival, which takes place June 16 to 26. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Now, Paul and I have been wondering about this. What is a speculative fiction author?
Speculative fiction is what started conceptually as the idea of a fiction that answers a kind of philosophical question, which is where the word speculative came from. The idea was that you ask a question, you know, the classic questions were things like, what if we could time travel, or what if the Nazis had won World War II, for example, and write fiction along that speculative line to try and work out how the world would be. And then later on, it became a way to answer the big political questions of whatever time people are in. So the classic example of speculative fiction would be The Handmaid's Tale, where Margaret Atwood looked into what would happen in a patriarchy in the modern times and wrote that. And she called that speculative fiction as well.
Well, I now know, so I know that perhaps a lot of the News Corp columnists are speculative fiction writers.
Well, yeah, that's a running joke. One of the running jokes among speculative fiction writers is that fake news and kind of that propaganda, that kind of stuff they write, is very much fits into speculative fiction. And that's kind of, speculative fiction has a lot of power to be used for good or for bad. You can use it to make a good political point and change the world for the better, or you can use it to lie and manipulate and do propaganda and make the world a worse place.
I think one of the books that I might perhaps classify in this, and I'm sorry, I can't think of the author, but it was, the title was The Prime Minister Was a Spy, which was the story that Harold Holt, when he went for a swim off Portsea, didn't get lost at sea. He was picked up by a Chinese submarine. Because he was a spy. Because he was a spy for the Chinese. But anyway,
that's a classic one.
It
that's
is, isn't it?
And, yeah, it's a good one.
And I think when they're, you know, when this sort of fiction is really well written, you actually, when you finish the book, you go, yeah, you know, that could have happened, and who knows that didn't happen.
But yeah. I'm also surprised. Good morning, Claire. It's Paul here. A surprise at just how much of the stuff that we see on TV and the books that we read is actually speculative fiction, because you're right, it's a fascinating genre.
And it's actually the dominant cultural material of our age. If you think about the movies and novels that do well, have speculative elements. But we've also got fake news and TV shows. And I think it is actually the dominant cultural force of our time.
I feel like I learned something today.
Yeah. I do, look, and thank you for that. Tell us about the Emerging Writers Festival, June 16 to 26. How's it? Is it taking place in person, or is it a lot of it virtual? Tell us about that, and also why this, you know, it is a pretty important event, you know, for writers, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty important because most writers, all writers go through a phase of emerging. And I suppose there's several phases to being a writer. The first of which I would call the wannabe writer, somebody who wants to write and hasn't done anything yet. And the emerging writer, someone who's writing but hasn't kind of made it yet in their career. And then you've got established writers and all the other levels from that. But emerging writers sometimes need help to get from that kind of like starting to write to finishing writing, because writing is it's not just an art; it also involves a lot of craft. You need to know the craft; you can't do the art properly. And Emerging Writers Festival can help people develop that craft and build connections and get to know people. And there's events to meet publishers and get involved in the industry and try and further your career. And it's very important. And this year, it's being run both in person and virtually.
Ah, okay.
So I'll be attending virtually because I was booked for virtually. I happen to not be in Melbourne anyway. So that because I'm on a road trip. So the I'll be attending virtually. But I know there's virtual events and in person events, and I think it's a very important part of the calendar because it does give people those opportunities that they might not otherwise get to shift from wanting to be a writer to actually being a writer, and that's the hardest shift to make in the industry, I think.
Do you think, Claire, if I can make an observation, I mean, I love words and I love the power of words and I actually love writing, and one of the things that I think, you know, challenging, particularly for perhaps younger folk who aren't used to, and I'm not talking about keyboard writing, I'm talking about with a pen or a pencil, that, you know, when you talked about, you know, the structure and I suppose the mechanics of writing, that's going to be pretty valuable, isn't it? Because
absolutely.
If you've got an idea, you've got, or, you know, you've got a speculative fiction idea, to actually be able to engage with people as to how do I do this? How do I actually turn my thoughts into words? How does the structure work? You know, what do you do when you get a mental block?
Well, that's the hard bit. The hardest bit for writing is not coming up with the idea, because ideas are literally a dime a dozen, yeah, in my opinion. The important bit is turning the ideas into something that people want to read, and that's really writers. It's like that idea of if a tree falls in the forest, no one hears it, it doesn't make a sound. If a writer writes a book and no one reads it, have they ever written? I suppose is the question. What things like Emerging Writers Festival can do is help people turn their idea, learn how to turn their idea into something that they can that they might be able to market and maybe even make a living. It's very hard to make a living as a writer these days. But the first step is to actually write, not just to think being a writer would be a great career.
So is it harder because one, getting it published might be more difficult, or that people aren't buying books, whether they're, you know, digital books or hard copy books? Tell us.
It's difficult in Australia because our market is so small.
Right.
Where we are one of the largest producers of books per capita, and the largest readers per capita in the world, or in the English-speaking world. But because there's only 25 million people in the country, that's not many people to buy books. You think about America with more like 300 million.
Right.
A successful book in Australia will sell through its publication life tens of thousands of copies. A successful book in the USA, if it's sold as well, proportion will sell in the hundreds of thousands of copies, and that's a big difference. And the main way people make a decent living in Australia is by internationalizing their work, so getting their work published in either getting it published in USA or Europe, or getting their publisher to do to market out a US or European edition, and that's why it's so hard to sell. The income for writers in Australia is quite low.
Yeah,
you can't be that one in a million writer if you don't write.
Of course, I'm just wondering whether there's a parallel. You know, as a radio station, you know, in days gone past, the only way people could listen to you was if they were in range of the signal. Now,
yes,
of course, they can listen online or they can listen with an app, and there are podcasts. And Joy, for example, there are only two places in the world that when I do the research that haven't actually downloaded our, or countries, territories, that haven't downloaded our podcast, which is Greenland, don't know why.
Penguins haven't got the fingers.
And Antarctica, and probably because of the cost of the data. So,
well, yeah,
you know, in terms of digital books, this must, surely this widens the market.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that my first novel, Terranullius, is on the curriculum at the Australian Studies Department in the University of Zagreb. And I know this because the lecturer has emailed me about it.
Wow.
So e-books and international shipping does make it possible to extend your market into a broader market, but it's still difficult. And it's a difficult, of all the arts, it's probably one of the most difficult to break into, and it earns among the least income of all the arts. But it's probably the most satisfying. For me, it's the, and it's, for me, it's kind of the only thing I'm actually good at, so...
Claire, I'm just looking on the website here for the Emerging Writers Festival, and I can see exactly what you're saying. There are some great speakers and workshops really about, you know, how do you talk to a publisher? How do you pitch something? How do you manage the process? How do you get funding?
Yep.
So it genuinely is a really good resource for wannabe writers, not only just to talk to other like-minded people, but really to get some practical advice on how to get a novel written and published.
And when I started out as a writer, I didn't know any of that because I didn't go to the Emerging Writers Festival when I started writing. So I had to kind of pick up that stuff on my own, and it certainly is a lot easier to have somebody teach you all that stuff in workshops and lectures. So it's definitely kind of a great event for that sort of thing.
And it sounds like, you know, you're very much, you know, enjoying this part of, you know, the writing community. Do you mentor anyone? Do you ever, you know, take some younger writers under your wing and try and do some stuff outside of the Emerging Writers Festival?
Yeah, I do. I mentor, and I've got I mentor people casually because I've got friends who I try and inspire to write more. And I'm undergoing a formal mentorship at the moment as well. So yeah, I do mentor and do a lot of things. There are things that people do that people might not be aware of, which is writers often, for example, are called upon to judge writing comps where the prize of the writing comp is being published in a book. So I do those sort of things as well, help people, help judge for who gets opportunities. I do mentorships. And I think it's that stuff is part of, and being at the Emerging Writers Fest, that's all just part of being a good citizen within the industry, really, because the industry doesn't survive very well without prizes and mentorships and things like the Emerging Writers Fest. So
it sounds fantastic.
I think the Emerging Fest, we should help out.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a worthwhile thing to do. We've got to give back as elders to the younger generation. Maka, sorry, you were about to say something.
No, look, I've found it really interesting because obviously the festival's a really important resource, you know, for not just emerging writers, but existing writers, because you can never stop learning. But I now know what a speculative fiction writer is. And when you've told me, I know exactly what it is. But I'd never associated it with that before. So thank you.
No worries.
Claire, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning.
We
feel like Naka and I are sitting here. Actually, we feel like we've learned something, and we're both flicking through the website. Interesting.
We're going, you know. And Terranullius, yes, I have a copy of that. So there you go. There's one you've sold.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, it's been a pleasure for us too, and thank you so much. And I hope that, you know, you enjoy the festival, and you know, you get. I know you'll be giving a lot back, but you get something out of it. That's great for every emerging writer. So thank you.
All right, thank you.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.